back in here on the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Brennan Mintz, all with you here. Mitch Fortner out today. 5:25, we got Cole Manbeck on the show. Part of the PowerCat Game Day crew. We'll get his thoughts on K-State and Wake coming up tonight. But for now, we turn our attention to Keegan Lowe from the Winston-Salem Journal, who is in Dayton following Wake Forest, getting ready to play this game against K-State tonight. Keegan, appreciate the time in joining me here. What is the feeling for Wake Forest getting to the tournament here with Danny Manning in his second season? Are they feeling like they're happy to be there? Is this a team that's upset about being in the first four games? What is the vibe that you get from these guys?
There was a little bit of a sense of relief, I guess you could say. Wake as a program hasn't been to the NCAA tournament since 2010. So it's been a while, 7 years now. So I think there was a little bit of relief, and you never know when you're on the bubble. You know, there was an argument to be made that Wake shouldn't have been in the first four, but I'm sure you could probably make the same argument that they shouldn't have been included at all, which is probably the argument that can be made for all four of these teams, all four of the bubble teams that were in Dayton. So I think yesterday, in talking to some of the players and coaches at practice and the media availability, very much happy to be here. Not necessarily satisfied, but I think just a sense of relief, I think, was the common theme when they saw their name finally pop up on the selection show on Sunday.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because this team, I mean, at one point in time, they lose to Duke. They're 15-12, 6-9 in the ACC. Was the feeling then that there was a decent chance that they could close this strong and get into the tournament, or what was the feeling?
So all season long, it was a case of they were just close enough to kind of lose in gut-wrenching fashion, especially against the best teams. You talked about the Duke game. They actually played Duke close twice, in Durham and in Winston. And Winston, Luke Kennard hit the three-pointer with 6 seconds left for Duke to win by two. It was kind of like that all year. Wake had halftime leads against at Florida State, at Virginia, at Xavier, and lost all those games. So it was just they could never finish against good teams. But down the stretch, they started putting 40 minutes together finally. They got a come-from-behind win over Pitt. They had the big home win against Louisville, who at the time was number 8 in the country, followed that up with a road win at Virginia Tech. And so they really started playing their best basketball in the last week or two coming into this. You could tell they were talented all year. Their offense has been one of the nation's best offenses all season long. John Collins has been great. They could just never finish it. And these last 2 weeks, they've done a better job of finishing, and you're starting to see them play their best basketball, what you presume is the right time of year.
Talking right now with Keegan Lowe from the Winston-Salem Journal to get the vibe for Wake Forest at this point in time. You know, John Collins is obviously where you start with this team, and he's a guy that, to be honest, I did not know much about at all until I found out that K-State would be playing Wake Forest here, and I've had a lot of fun watching his highlights leading up to the game. But has anyone been successful slowing him down? Is there any kind of recipe to trying to limit what he does?
So My first response to that would probably be no. If he stays out of fouls early in the season, November, December, and even early part of January, foul trouble was his biggest nemesis. I mean, if he could just stay on the court and play 25 or 30 minutes, then he was going to dominate. It was just a question of could he stay on the court. As ACC play started, he kind of got a lot of them were silly fouls too, you know, reach-in fouls or away from the basket or stuff like that. And so he started to eliminate those during ACC play, and had a stretch of, I think, 12 straight games with 20 or more points. I mean, he was just pretty much dominating ACC play. ACC tournament and late in the regular season, teams started to throw hard double teams at him. I know in the first round of ACC tournament last Tuesday, Boston College doubled him every single time he got the ball. And it frustrated him early. He didn't even attempt a field goal in the first half. You could tell he was just frustrated, but he ended that game with 19 points and 12 rebounds. So he'll figure it out. Even if they start double teaming Virginia Tech the next night, double team him, frustrated him a little bit. But he's been able to figure it out. It's just, can he stay on the floor? Is he going to get in foul trouble? In both of the ACC tournament games, he played over 30 minutes, which was a good sign. That's something that hadn't happened this year before that. So, if he can stay out of foul trouble, that's his biggest thing.
Talking with Keegan Lowe live from Dayton from the Winston-Salem Journal. Beyond John Collins, what is there to this Wake Forest team?
So point guard Brian Crawford is kind of, if John Collins is number one, then Brian Crawford's number two. He's averaging over 16 points a game, sophomore point guard. Last year as a freshman, he struggled with turnovers. You could tell he was very talented, but they just kind of threw him to the wolves last year as a freshman, and he had struggled turning over the ball. This year he's done a lot better. His assist to turnover ratio is really strong, 16 points a game. He's kind of their big shot guy. You know, if Wake needs a big bucket, and obviously the whole defense is going to be looking at John Collins. Brian Crawford is the guy that likes the ball. He likes having the ball in his hands. Well, he's not afraid to take the big shot. Keyshawn Woods is a transfer they got from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. This is his first year on the team. He's a sophomore. He's been helpful for them, kind of as a perimeter defender and as that third scorer. That's been the thing for Wake all year. You knew Collins was going to get his 18 to 20. You expected Crawford to get 15 or 16. But could they have a third guy to help Collins and Crawford? Keyshawn Woods has been the most consistent third guy. But there's some rotation there. Dinos Mitoglou plays power forward. He's actually 7 feet tall, but he plays alongside Collins down low. But he's more of your stretch four kind of guy. Even though he's 7 feet, he'll step out and shoot threes on you. Wake's not the deepest team. They'll probably only go 7, 8, maybe 9, but they like to go 7 and 8 deep. But yeah, Collins and Crawford are definitely the 1 and 2. And if Wake can get a third option, whether it be Woods or Mitoglou or any type of third score, that will be big for them tonight.
It seems like everyone wants to say, all right, this team's great offensively, not very good defensively. Is there too much made of their struggles defensively, or is that spot on?
I think that's pretty spot on. I mean, if you look, no matter really what numbers you look at, I was looking at KenPom before this interview, and Wake has the 8th best offense in the country, but the 150th best defense, which is pretty much middle of the pack and one of the worst in the ACC. It's been their problem all year. In their last game in the second round of the ACC tournament against Virginia Tech, Wake Forest let up 62 points in the second half, and they went from, I think, up 7 at halftime to losing 99-90. So that's been their thing all year. Wake has proven they can score with anyone, whether it be North Carolina, Duke, Louisville. It's just, can they stop you and kind of keep you under 80? I think that's kind of the goal is just keep you under 80, because Wake, I think, is confident in itself that as long as Crawford's on the floor, they can get to 80, but it's can they keep teams in the 60s and 70 range.
Keegan Lowe talking with us from the Winston-Salem Journal. Just lastly for you, I mean, do you have a lean one way or the other? Do you feel like you're being swayed one direction as far as what you think will happen?
I really not. I've kind of haven't paid much attention to Kansas State being over here in the Wake Forest ACC bubble, but everything I've looked up so far seems to conclude that these teams are pretty much as evenly matched as you get. A little bit of difference the way they get there, different styles the way they get there. But I think Vegas, I saw, has Kansas State as a 1.5-point favorite. I think KenPom has Kansas State as a 1-point favorite. So I think you could kind of go either way. I think it will be that type of game. I don't expect either team to come out and win by 10 or 12. I imagine both teams will be pretty nervous making their first NCAA tournament appearance in seven years for Wake and then a couple years for Kansas State. So I'd expect a one or two possession game either way.
Yeah, sounds like that's the consensus with this one for sure. Keegan, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game tonight. Really appreciate you joining us here on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, there's Keegan Lowe from the Winston-Salem Journal. K-State and Wake tip off at 8:10 tonight. Pregame coverage starting here on K-Man at 7 o'clock. 5:25, we'll chat with Cole Manbeck on the show. He is moved a little bit because of his parental duties, so no more 5:10 spot for Cole Manbeck today. But when we come back, I get to debut a new segment that I'm very excited about, so stay tuned here on The Game.